Let's break a major story tonight, Jesse. Tell us you're running with Ron Paul in 2012.
Well, you know, I said that on Good Morning America, I think it was, back, and I did that, you know, and I'll tell you this, but I had a caveat with it. It requires Congressman Paul to leave the Republican Party, because I will not, I'm an equal opportunity disliker of both parties. I don't like the Democrats. I don't like the Republicans. My belief is they are not the solution. They are the problem. They've, for lack of a better term, they've sold their soul to rock and roll. You can go to both of their conventions and see the same high-priced corporate lobbyists at both paying them all off. So it doesn't matter who wins. I like to refer to it as like going into the grocery store. And you go to the soft drink department, and the only choices you're offered are Coke and Pepsi, two colas, one slightly sweeter than the other. There's no root beer. There's no orange. There's no 7-Up. There's no Mountain Dew. All you get is Coke and Pepsi, and that's your choice. I thought Ralph Nader described them perfectly. It's the two-party dictatorship that we're under today in our country. And so getting back, though, I said that I would give serious consideration. I didn't say I would do it, but if Congressman Paul would leave the Republican Party, I would give serious consideration to being his running mate.
People just want honest government, Jesse, as you well know. I mean, your victory, as you became governor of Minnesota with the Reform Party at the time, was I thought it was a message to the world that people just wanted somebody in there that they could believe. They were fed up with the parties. They were fed up with the political system. And you won. Did it surprise you?
No, I don't do anything to lose. I didn't go into that race to lose.
No, I know that.
I went in to win, and I knew if the chips fell right, and I knew that if things worked out, and the big mistake made was this. The Democrats made a movement that I suppose they thought would be very honorable, but that isn't why they did it. They stated they would not debate unless I was included, because they felt, because I'm fiscally conservative and I'm for smaller government and less intrusive government, they thought that I would zap votes away from St. Paul Mayor, former Senator Norm Coleman, who was the opponent, and of course it was Hubert H. Skip Humphrey, the son of Vice President Hubert Humphrey and our Attorney General at the time. They made that decision thinking that I would, you know, take enough votes away from Coleman to ensure a Humphrey victory. Well, at the time, Humphrey was polling, I think, about 44% to 46%. Coleman was polling about 32%, and I was at 10%.
Wow.
7 weeks before the election. But when they made the statement that they wouldn't debate unless I was included, I sat back in the corner like a Cheshire cat.
You knew,
and I
right
said, there. You have no idea the mistake you just made, because I go by the simple thing that I like to say, call it a cliche or whatever, if I can debate them, I can beat them. Because these two parties are so full of baggage, they're so corrupt, that a person like me who doesn't have the corruption can expose their corruption. And you know, you notice how the media, and no movies were made or anything about what we accomplished there.
You're
this
right.
This was bigger than people could believe. And I'm not saying it because I did it. Just the whole thing that happened, because here's the thing that all your listeners need to know, and I'll tell you a quick story.
Okay.
When I was growing up, and I was a teenager, my father, who was a World War II vet with an eighth grade education at the time, stated to me one day that all politicians are crooks. And I, of course, said, come on, Dad, you can't make a blanket statement like that. They can't all be crooks. And he said, oh, yes, they can. You want to know why? And I said, why? He said, because they spend $1 million for a job that only pays $100,000. Nobody in the private sector would do an investment like that. Only politicians. Well, here's the big end of the story that you don't hear much about. Do you know how much money I raised to become the governor of Minnesota?
I'm going to guess, because I've done a little homework, $300,000.
You got it. $300,000. Well, you do your homework, because most people are totally unaware. $300,000, which, and at that time, 98, the Dems and Repubs combined spent $12 million to win that election. Well, I could be my father. That's my one regret in life, is that my mother and father were both gone by the time I won governor. They never saw me become governor.
They would have been proud.
It was a first marriage for both, and they were career people. My dad was 40 and my mom was 30 when they got married, so I always had much older parents than most of my schoolmates did. But I could say to my dad today, if he were around, your son's not a crook, because I bet I'm the only elected official at a high-level election, or maybe any election, for statewide to federal in the last 50 years, who can say they made more money doing the job than what they raised and spent to get it.
You started giving tax money back to the citizens, didn't you?
Well, I'll explain that. But anyway, I made $120,000 a year as governor, which, if my Roosevelt High School math is correct, that means I made $480,000 for the 4 years, which I only spent $300,000.
Yeah.
Who else could possibly say that? Now, where were we going? What did you say until I got that in?
Well, we were talking about primarily what was going on in your life at the time as the governor. But I wanted to ask you, why you didn't seek re-election? You would have won.
I know. I had the highest approval rating in Minnesota history for a governor at one point. I was 73%. I'll tell you why. And I wrote about it in my previous book 2 books ago called Don't Start the Revolution Without Me, because I didn't want to discuss it with the Minnesota media, because I went on war with them. When they attacked my children, when I was in office, I swore I would never talk to them once I got out of office, ever again. And I've kind of mellowed. I've talked to a couple media since then, but I went a few years without. Here's the reason why I didn't seek re-election. It was my wife's health.
Okay.
And I didn't feel that was there. I didn't want the media to know about it, because all they would do is exploit it.
Yes.
That was part of the problem. It affected my wife tremendously, and you can imagine as a mother when her children get attacked for no reason by the media. You know?
Do you miss it at all?
Sure. I miss it, absolutely. You accomplish things. It's exciting. You're the top man in the state. Nobody can tell you what to do.
Yeah.
You know, but no, my wife's health, and in my mind, Ed, she's doing much, much better now. And part of it is our move to Mexico, where we live a real simple life down there. I like to tell people, they say, what do you do in Mexico? And I said, well, I wake up every morning with nothing to do, and when I go to bed that night, I'm half done. And so she's doing much better now. But I will tell you this, I will not put any elected job ahead of my wife. My wife is more important to me. We've been together 35 years now. It'll be 36 this summer. She is far more important to me than holding any political position. So that is the major reason I did not seek re-election or a second term. Also because I believe one of the big problems in our country is career politicians. Who make a career out of it.
There's no question about it. But while you were in office, you saved enough money from the state coffers that you started giving taxpayers money back.
No. It wasn't that. It was the robust economy. We had such a robust economy then. Remember, this is before 9/11.
But you did give people refunds. Oh,
absolutely.
Basically.
What happened was this. I'll explain. We would set a budget, and of course you got your normal taxes in place because the economy was so powerful. That's why I ran for governor. The state was getting surpluses. You know, they would bring in, of course, at a state level, you have to run by law a balanced budget.
Right.
It's not like the feds who can get all this debt.
Yeah.
But they, because of revenues were coming in so big, that was why I ran. We had a surplus before I got in office, and they spent it. And I said, wait a minute. They had a budget. If there's excess money, it doesn't give the politicians the right to be kids in a candy store and just go on a shopping spree. You give that money back.